You are listening to a Blazing Caribou Studios production.
Welcome to another episode of Two Peas on a Podcast, counting down movies, music, TV, and pop culture, one top five at a time. And now, here are the Two Peas, Andy and Gerald.
What's up, people?
Hello!
Welcome in.
I'm here.
Hello. Hello.
Welcome
How
in.
How are
welcome
you? Welcome in. Nice to meet you.
I like the welcome in. That's like a very newscaster. Welcome in,
guys. Welcome to the program.
The program.
And my name's Gerald.
I'm Andy. And I am
why are we being so
Gerald
professional right now?
At the table.
And my name's Gerald. That's it.
You're Gerald. I'm Andy.
Told people that, right?
What's going on? What are we doing?
Gerald and Andy here. It's okay. Episode 90.
90. That's a big number.
0, which, if I'm not mistaken, is 10 episodes away from 100, I think.
That's a powerful map.
I will have to confirm that, but I believe that's the case. Yes. And then with our bonus episodes, we're up to like 150.
Dude, this is exciting.
We're killing it.
Well done.
So
I can't believe I've talked to you 90 times. And each time we talked about it, like an hour, like 90 hours of conversation with Gerald.
That's just on the show.
Interesting. Oh, that's
is that too
show.
Is that too much?
Yo, are you trying to convince people who are listening that I talk to you outside of the show?
I was going
to
say, every time I try to talk to you, you're like, whoa, and you start recording.
Exactly.
That's everything we've ever said.
Yeah, I need something from this. I need some
What's
kind of audio.
That, you know what I mean? Just talk to me normal. Why do we have to record everything?
Aww.
So what are we counting down today, Andy? This is about, okay.
Ooh, whoa.
Hold on. Okay. Don't fucking say anything.
I want to say something.
I jumped the gun. Don't tell him yet.
You're a gun
jumper. So in December.
Okay, December.
This month that this is airing, we're doing our Of the Decade series. So each week, it is a top five
it's been a good
of
decade.
The decade.
I'm looking forward to 2020, the year of clarity, but
the year of clarity is coming up. But before that, we have to tell you what we thought was out of focus. Current decade. So we're going to do our top five. What are we doing today?
Today, we're doing our top five entertainers of the decade, 2010 to 2019.
There it is. The kids are calling it
the tens.
Which doesn't make any sense because it's like
it's teens.
Teens,
bro. Kids, you don't have to rename everything. It's the teens. There's already a thing.
They're calling it the tens. Why is that a thing?
There's already a thing.
There's only one 10, though.
Dude, there's already a thing. There's already, like, it's numbers. There's already words for numbers.
2010 to 2019 is enough. I don't need
teens,
you to give it everything.
They're
a millennial name. A millennial's a name. You know, these damn millennials, you know?
These darn millennials.
So, our top five entertainers
this
decade.
This was hard for me because I don't watch a lot of stuff. So, it was hard for me to find entertainers. It was hard for me.
Here's what I'm going to ask you.
It was very difficult.
Now, on my list, while just tell you a little bit about my research and my thought process for the list.
Here we go.
And then I want to hear about yours.
Okay.
So I just kind of got into this trap in the beginning where I was like, who sold the most or got viewed the most or whatever. And I kind of fell into that trap in the beginning and I was like, hold on a second. Why am I doing that? Like, what provided the most entertainment value to me this decade?
Yeah.
What did I enjoy the most this decade in terms from an entertainment perspective?
Yeah.
So now with that being, that's how I went. So my five or 10, if you want to count my honorable mentions, are the 10 people that I got the most entertainment from in the last 10 years.
Mm-hmm.
How is that how you went as well?
Yes.
Because you said you had a little trouble with it.
Yeah, I had a lot of trouble with mine, but that's kind of how I did. I thought back in the last 10 years. My daughter was born in 2008. My other daughter was born in 2011. So I thought about it around that time.
Okay.
What have I been listening to? You know, what have I been watching? So I definitely 1, 2, and 3 were the obvious ones that came to mind. 4 and 5 were a little more difficult. So I always make it very personal. I do very, very little research.
Yeah.
So
right.
I try to be like, okay, who is entertaining me?
Your list is a very like kind of just gut reaction.
Yes, it's very gut.
Very much
gut.
Like this is just who I thought of.
Yeah, this is who I thought of.
All right, well, I'm gonna look up some things that mine have done on like IMDb or whatever. Whatever the case may be, when the time comes.
The only things mine have done is entertain me.
Well, that's it. But I mean, what do they entertain you in? Through what medium or whatever? It was tough for me too, and I've got some that people might be like. entertainer.
What? That's just crazy. It's not an entertainer.
It's not a fucking entertainer. Are you kidding me? Stop. But I'm going to try to explain myself.
Oh, here we go.
So, did you go first last time? So you went first last time.
It's your turn.
So I'm going to go first. Are you cool with that? Are you cool with being the finale?
I am.
Five, four, three, two, one.
And here we go.
Are you sure? You seem a little uneasy about it. Are you okay?
Now I'm really thinking. Now you got me thinking about what is entertainment.
Well,
could I have done this?
I know. That's my thing. So,
oh, man.
You know what? I went out of the box, bro. I went
out of the box.
Because I have a few on my list, on my 10, that people, obviously, because we got feedback for this topic on Twitter and stuff, people don't go to them as quote-unquote entertainers.
Yes.
But I'm going to explain why they were very entertaining to
me. Yes, I thought about music, movies,
I get
things
it.
Like
I
that.
I did too, but yeah. I, you know, you'll see.
Because I like a lot of you'll authors,
see.
But I didn't think about
you'll
people
actually
who write books.
You actually see in my number five. So.
Interesting. Okay. Well, you start. You go ahead. All right. Just break the ice. Don't. You quit. Stop the foreplay. Just get to work.
Fair enough. Here we go. All right. So my number five.
Number five.
So this is my number five entertainer of the decade.
Got it.
And we're talking about from 2010 up until present day.
Okay.
So the last 10 years. Now, here's one. Okay. That's what I'm saying. Okay. People aren't going to go to as a entertainer right away.
Uh-huh.
But I started thinking about this, and I actually had a little banter back and forth with a fan on the fan page that I'll mention when we get to the suggestion box. Don't open it yet. Don't open it yet. But when I get there, we'll talk about it. But I had already kind of thought about doing this person on the list.
Okay.
And then when I had this conversation with this fan on the page, I was like, kind of pushed me over the line where I'm like, yeah, I can convince Andy and others that this is an entertainer of the decade.
Good luck with that.
So my number five is a gentleman that passed away this year.
Interesting.
Which I also, rest in peace, obviously, but may have had a little bit to do with it because it was a very emotional loss in the entertainment community. And especially if you're into these types of films and lore. But my number five is Mr. Stan Lee.
Oh, nice.
All right. He is the creator in a lot of cases and the mastermind behind many comic book characters.
I thought about Stan Lee.
Did you? Good.
Honestly, I thought about him.
Good, because I don't know if I was going to have to convince you. But
I thought about him. And you're going to see in my future list something riffing on him. But I thought about him.
I mean, let's talk about it in the last 10 years. I mean, the X-Men movies, the Avengers films.
Marvel
the entire
as a
Marvel
studio
universe.
Has owned the box office.
I mean, the
last
entire Marvel universe. Yeah. His cameos.
Yeah.
His cameos are some of the most memorable scenes in all the Marvel. I don't know if you know, he was in every Marvel movie. He had a cameo, starting with Iron Man in 08.
You know, I guess one person can make a difference. Enough said.
And it just became a thing where it was like, where's Stan Lee's cameo? You know, and he was even in the animated Spider-Verse that came out this year. He had a cameo in that.
Yeah. Stan's wonderful.
He was like the comic.
He's entertaining.
Shop owner.
Yeah.
And, you know, I've heard they want to do a movie about his life. And
that would be cool.
They're actually talking to Mark Maron, who's a comedian at portraying him, which I think it looks a lot like a young Stan Lee. So I thought that was interesting. But that would be a great film to see the biography of his life. But I mean, just such a character that just shaped so many childhoods.
Yeah.
I mean, if you read comics, if you grew up watching superhero films, Stan Lee was connected to you in some way.
Yeah.
And without Stan Lee's imagination and creativity,
dude,
I mean, Hulk, Iron Man, Spider-Man, X-Men. I mean, we're talking like Fantastic Four. Yeah. We're talking characters that, like, without Stan Lee, I mean, how blank would that canvas be?
And if you think about it, decade specific, growing up for me, comic books were a very genre thing. You had the people who read comic books and you had the rest of the world. And of course, you had slowly things started popping out, like, okay, you have the Superman movies, the Batman movies, whatever. But over the last decade, comic books and especially Marvel characters have become mainstream. And now they own the box office and they own the entertainment world. So it's interesting watching over the last decade this thing that's used to be a niche thing. Comic books used to be a niche thing.
Right.
Now become this worldwide phenomenon where everyone, like Stan Lee specifically, everyone knows who Stan Lee is now. Everyone knows.
Yeah,
everyone knows who he is. He's a household name. He wasn't a household name in the 80s, not even the 90s. So I mean, Marvel has.
And you said you thought about Stan Lee.
Yeah, right? I did. And Marvel has I mean, they've always done great movies, but this last decade of movies has been so exciting, and Marvel has set a new standard. Mm-hmm. I mean, just thinking about the Infinity War series and all the Marvel movies leading up to Infinity War, I mean, and the swan song that was Endgame. I mean, they've just done a great job, and I love the characters. All the characters have been great.
Awesome, brother. I'm glad you're behind the pick.
Yeah, I'm behind the pick, bro.
You know.
Yeah, well done.
I was a little worried. How am I going to spend that? I mean, you know, in talking to Aaron over on the fan page, it was great because having that conversation, I was like, okay, I'm not the only one that kind of thought of him when I said the blanket term entertainers.
Yeah.
You know, obviously.
Comic books and movies are entertaining. Those are entertainment genres. Exactly. And he is the core of that genre. So, of course, I mean, well done, friend.
All right, man. Well, that's my number five, Stanley.
You are going to love my number five.
I'm glad you sold it.
Number five.
I'm glad you agree with
me. Number five is probably one of the most popular of my list. And, I mean, you're going to love this one. You're going to love it. I almost don't even want to explain. I just want to drop the bomb on you right now. My number five is Tay-Tay Swiftie. Here's the thing. Tay-Tay Swiftie's music always
makes me so happy, dude.
Taylor Swift's music always entertains me.
Yeah.
Period. Yeah. Every time I hear her song, even the new songs like Me, I mean, all the songs I hear of her, I mean, I just like her music.
Sure.
But over the last decade, especially, her transition, her evolution has been so exciting. I don't know. When did Red come out?
2012.
See, Red was 2012. That's the decade. Yeah. So she was a great country star. I mean, I like her country music. Speak Now, my daughter has that CD and loves it. Red was kind of, I guess, the height of her kind of country
that
music.
That was kind of her crossover, too. So it was kind of half pop,
I think
half
Red, for me, is when she caught hold. I loved Red.
Sure, yeah.
And then after that, with 1989, her switch over to the pop scene, but also not just pop music, but unique pop music and dark. A lot of her songs are very dark, very politically, are motivated by the way she sees the world, reputation. Sure. Shut Up with the song. Sit Down, Too Loud. Too Loud.
Oh, yes.
You're being too loud. But she just
has. You need to calm down.
Tay-Tay Swiftie is so talented. She has a very unique voice, a very unique vibe about her, a very unique talent. And I love her evolution. I love the fact that she began as a country star writing her own music. And then she said, you know what? This genre can't box me in. I'm going to do everything.
I love it.
So my number five, over the last 10 years, I don't think I've any entertainer music-wise, except for another one on my list, has entertained me as much as Tay-Tay Swiftie.
I mean, she's such a prolific artist. That
prolific's a great word.
Is multi-genre.
She's
been in films this year,
and her videos have a film quality to them.
Yeah,
that, like, she's like awesome. An art form. I can't take my eyes off her.
Can't either. Meow. I won't be. She's in Cats this month, so that makes sense. But I
on
won't
Broadway.
Be, well, it's the film version.
Dude, get out of
she
town.
She plays like a sexy kitten, of course. Yes. I told you guys, I'm a Swiftie, but. I'm going to be talking about her later, so I'm not going to go. I mean, you had to know this was going to be on my list, right?
Of course.
Okay, it is crossover. I cannot tell you how thrilled I am that you put her on her list, because what I run into a lot of times, and I've always liked Taylor Swift. Yeah. Her career started in like 2008, so she was really young back then. But when I really got into Taylor Swift was 2012 with Red.
Yeah.
We're Never Ever Getting Back Together. I Knew You Were Trouble. I mean,
Trouble.
Right.
Yeah.
She had the duet with Ed Sheeran on that album.
Honestly, I gotta break the ice. Ed Sheeran and Taylor Swift were vying for my number five.
And he's a great entertainer.
Sheeran is my number six.
Okay, cool.
Because over the last decade, honestly, he's the same way. Like, when I hear his music, I'm like, I just love Ed. Ed's a great guy.
Sure.
I mean, he's just very unique. He can do a ballad. He can do a pop song.
Sure.
I love his new duet with Justin Timberlake.
You
know, I don't like something. I don't want to be here. Or whatever.
I think is that Bieber? Is Bieber or Timberlake?
Bieber. Oh, Bieber. Sorry.
Yeah, you said Timberlake.
With the Bieber.
So I'll talk about Taylor later.
Tay-Tay Swift, number five.
Definitely on my list, but one of the most, I mean, got to be one, especially from a musician standpoint, one of the most prolific of the decade.
Dude, she's wonderful. And Tay-Tay Swiftie is just knocked the 10. I'm going to do it, a millennial thing. She's knocked the 10s out of the park, bro. She's owned the 10s.
That's right.
She's owned the 10s.
She's owned hyphen 10s. Yeah. She's owned it.
She is a 10.
Is that how kids say
it?
You say the hyphen 10s, right? Or you're not supposed to say the hyphen silent?
I'm already getting sick in my mouth.
All right, so here we go.
My
number four might be crossover with you because I know you love this dude.
Here we go.
So I've got two actors on my list, just actors.
Okay.
That's really all they do. But he's also a comedian to me because he's so funny, man.
Yeah.
And I'm talking about like in interviews. I follow him on Twitter.
I know exactly what you're talking about. I love him.
He's always dropping one-liners on Twitter.
Dude.
His marriage is like funny. Like he's always like making fun of his wife and his
kid. His feud? His feud is great.
He's just awesome, bro. Yeah. So I'm going to go. My number four is Ryan Reynolds.
He's an honorable mention for me. I love Ryan Reynolds.
He's my number
four. Ryan Reynolds.
And it's because it's goals, man. I mean, he's married to Blake Lively. They have their new kids. And he's got the family life going, but he's obviously, you know, I want to say it was last year, maybe. Yeah. It's definitely this decade, but he was named like People's Sexiest Man Alive.
Yeah. He's my sexiest man alive.
Deadpool is like, come on, bro.
Dude.
I mean, we're talking about superhero movies.
Yeah.
I don't know if that one was Stan Lee, though. I'm not sure. So I don't want to quote that was Stan Lee, but
no, it was
Deadpool and Deadpool 2, two of my favorite movies of the decade. I mean, just him as that Deadpool character, literally hilarious.
It's him. Oh, it's wonderful.
I mean, literally hilarious.
He brings a Ryan Reynolds-ness to every character. He does. You can't, I mean, it's hard to be that good looking and that just wonderfully and just smoky and manly, but also being that hilarious and not taking himself too seriously.
It started with me, with him.
Smoky. I called him Smoky.
It started with me with... Van Wilder, which wasn't this decade, but that was when I was introduced to him, the comedy Van Wilder.
I've never seen Van Wilder. He's literally
a caricature of himself in that movie. He's just like being Ryan Reynolds in that movie, but it's like a college age Ryan Reynolds. Yeah. But it's kind of like a Porky's type, like college comedy, like kind of dick humor or whatever. Yeah. But it's hilarious. What else did he do? So unfortunately, this decade, he did Green Lantern, which was a little bit of a... That was kind of how he started the decade in 2010. But he did The Change Up with Jason Bateman, who I also love, which was awesome. And he was the voice of Turbo, which we talked about. Mm-hmm. He did that this decade. He obviously, both Deadpool movies are really why he made my list.
I'm about to do to you what Limp Bizkit did to music in the late 90s. Dad?
And then just him, just his aura. Like, he's just very... You can just tell he's just having a good time.
Yeah, man.
He's just enjoying life.
He makes everything fun.
He's making fun of his wife, Blake Lively, on Twitter. And, like, they're at each other's neck. And it's just like, they're not going to be on my list, but it's very similar to, like, Kristen Bell and Dax Shepard.
Yeah.
They have a marriage like that, too, where they're, like, talking shit to each other in front of the whole world. And, like, you know, but they love each other.
Yeah.
And he's doing the family thing. He's entertaining us in the movies. And he's just hilarious in interviews. He just seems like a good dude.
Yeah.
And
he seems like he enjoys life.
He just makes me feel good, man. He just entertains me, which is what we're doing today. So it's the first of two actors that will be considered actors are going to be on my list. But Ryan Reynolds, any crossover there or no?
No crossover. He's an honorable mention for me. Okay. But there is
I know you love him.
There's a vibe crossover in number four. Number four,
go ahead. All right.
My number four entertainer of the decade just makes me feel good.
Sure.
When he first came out on SNL, I didn't love him. I never really watched SNL a lot, and I didn't want to like him. But then he became the host of The Tonight Show. And over the last... I don't know how long he's been host of The Tonight Show, but he's just, every time I see this guy do anything, I am intoxicated by how much fun he's having. Mm-hmm. I'm talking about Jimmy Fallon.
Oh, okay.
Jimmy Fallon, to me, is just an amazing human being. He has The Roots on his show, which I love The Roots, one of my favorite hip-hop groups. The side skits he does with Justin Timberlake and everything he does. But when I watch him do anything... He seems to be the one having the most fun in the room at all times. He just seems to love his life, to love what he does, and Jimmy Fallon just makes me smile. So number four is my smile guy, Jimmy Fallon.
I like that. You know,
Jimmy Fallon's wonderful.
Jimmy Fallon is cool, man, because he's like very similar to what I was saying with Ryan Reynolds.
How long he's been on The Tonight Show?
It was this decade for sure, but he's been on maybe 5 years.
Okay, so it has been the whole decade.
But... what's cool about, and he had the late night show before that.
Okay.
So he went to The Tonight Show after he had the late, like, one at 12:30 or whatever. But what's cool about Jimmy Fallon, kind of what we were saying about Ryan Reynolds, to be honest, but even when he was on SNL, even I've always had the sense, basically ever since I've known of Jimmy Fallon, I've had the sense that he's literally just being himself.
Yeah. All the time.
Like, he's literally just like this. He's just, you know, he always breaks character and starts laughing. Yeah. And, like, you know, he's friends with these people in real life. So when they come on The Tonight Show, it's not like he's interviewing them. It's like he's literally just having a conversation with them in his living room.
Have you ever seen the Jerry Seinfeld did Comedians in
Cars Getting Coffee
with Jimmy Fallon?
I didn't see that one.
He talked about meeting Jimmy Fallon. He did, Jerry Seinfeld did SNL. And they were talking about, he's meeting different people. And they go, oh, and that's Jimmy. He's just happy to be here.
Right,
that's how he met Jimmy. That's the feeling you get. Yeah. That's Jimmy. He's just happy to be here.
That's what you feel like,
yeah. So Jimmy's just, of all the entertainers in the world, his vibe is just so intoxicating to me.
And it's cool how...
I want to sit down with him and just have
coffee. Exactly, yeah. And it's cool how you can...
That's an invitation, by the way, Jimmy.
It's cool how you can make an impact just by no shtick. I mean, being yourself.
Yeah,
I mean, just, you know, you gain popularity through comedic writing and SNL and stuff.
Course.
And, you know, you benefited from that. But you, or at least...
And he's talented.
Least it appears that he hasn't changed. Like, he's still just, you know...
Jimmy.
Showing up to work, having a good time. You know what I mean? So
Jimmy is my number four. The feel-good pick of the decade.
I like it. Jimmy Fallon, you're number four. I do have a couple what would be considered late night hosts on my list, but not Jimmy Fallon.
Okay.
I have two more that I love Jimmy Fallon, but
it's
I like on. Two that I prefer, I guess.
Okay, is your number three?
No. I'm just saying I have them coming up later.
Okay, number three.
All right, so my number three. All right, so my number three, and I guess I should have said Before we started,
you probably should have
record, or before we started with our list, I should have told the folks, Andy, I told you in the pre-roll, but I made a list of for this one, and I didn't order them. I'm ordering them as we speak.
My goodness, you're in the moment,
did I tell
Gerald.
You
welcome to the moment, brother. It's beautiful. So, nice to have you here.
This is the first one where I'm like, it could be
gut. Go with your gut, man. Stop thinking. Go with your gut.
So I'm gonna go.
Go with your gut. Grab it. Grab
I'm
it.
I'm doing a personal list.
Grab it.
So I'm gonna go with.
You're very personal.
A gentleman that. Arose to fame at the beginning of the decade. I want to say around 2012, 2013.
Okay. Rose to fame.
He rose to fame as a comedian.
Okay.
Okay. Mm-hmm. I'm going to set this up. Okay. So he is funny. He's hilarious. Mm-hmm. And that was about 7 or 8 years ago.
Got it.
In the last 3 to 4 years, so the last half of this decade,
got it.
He has transformed himself, not saying he's not still a funny dude, but he has transformed himself to be a new beacon of light for the horror community.
Interesting.
This is a gentleman
I don't
that
know who you're talking about. I keep thinking I know, but I don't.
This is a gentleman that has become a prolific horror writer and director, and he has put out two of the best films of this decade.
We talked about this earlier, didn't we?
That are in the horror genre.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
It is Mr. Jordan Peele.
Okay.
Jordan Peele is the writer-director of the two films that came out in the last 4 years, Get Out and Us.
Jordan Peele, what does he look like? How do I know Jordan Peele?
Key and Peele.
Key and Peele.
Key and Peele. So he is...
Which one is he? The tall one?
He's the shorter one.
The shorter one.
Yep.
He directs those movies?
Yes, he's a horror... He's honestly starting to
kind of... Because those guys are hilarious.
He's kind of starting to be seen in the light of like the new wave of horror films. Yeah. Because he's doing an awesome thing. Have you seen Get Out? Or I know you probably haven't seen Us yet. It just came out this year.
No,
but have you seen Get Out?
No, I haven't.
Okay, you should see it because he does a really cool thing where he blurs the line between horror and like a social commentary.
Yeah.
So his film...
Oh, Get Out was... I know about it.
Yeah.
It was very
socially
driven.
Exactly. Yeah. So it was very like almost like a political undertone to it, like a very socially aware film. And Us is the same way. Us is like basically about like a class system pretty much.
Yeah.
But he tells it from like a horror angle. So he's making really smart movies that are really important, but they're also entertaining people like me that are bloodthirsty for horror films.
You're bloodthirsty. Homie.
So Us was one of my favorite movies of the year this year. Just a lot of great imagery. And then Get Out was just a transformative movie for the horror community that, like I said, I mean, horror movies generally aren't being put out to like... open people's eyes to social issues.
Of course. Yeah.
Do you know what I mean?
Do you think that's
I don't
because,
know how else to
you
put
think that's
that,
because
but...
we live in a particularly scary time?
Right. Yeah. I mean, yeah, seriously. So I love Jordan Peele, man. He's currently in 2019, as we're talking, which is also this decade, he's currently hosting the revival of Twilight Zone.
Ah, nice. Well done. I bet that's a dream come true for
which
him.
Which is a show that I love watching reruns of with my father. So I love seeing them kind of, I've watched a few of those episodes with him hosting. And he has that kind of great voice for narrating it. And then, like I said, he was hilarious in the first half of the decade because I love Key and Peele. Mm-hmm. I love Key, too. Keegan-Michael Key is the other dude.
Yeah.
And he's hilarious, too. He was on Friends with Benefits on Netflix, and he's just a fun... I mean, he's stuck to comedy.
Yeah.
But he's a funny dude, too, so I used to love that show. That one and Workaholics on Comedy Central, I've watched this whole decade. Like, I'm not a stoner anymore, but if I was, those would be my main shows, bro.
Yep.
You know what I mean? Just, like, stupid humor, you know? But just to be able to have that rounded, like... I can make you laugh 1 year and then the next year I'm scaring the death out
difficult.
Of you, you know? And
that's difficult.
He has really entertained me, man. His movies are so entertaining from a horror super fan perspective. And he's funny too, and from Key and Peele. So I'll tell you in my honorable mentions what I was thinking about putting in my number three place, which would have been a very much different path to go on. But I decided to give it a little love to the horror community because you know how I am, man. You know how I am.
You're a scary guy.
Yeah, I'm a scary dude. So my number three is Jordan Peele.
Beautiful.
Filmmaker and comedian.
Well
love him.
Done.
All right, man, that's going to surprise some people, I think, but that's my number three. All right, so what's your number three, buddy?
My number three, I was thinking about Stan Lee, and I was thinking about how Marvel has changed the face of the world, the face of entertainment. I love, 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 love Marvel movies. I can't get enough. I chose Mr. Robert Downey Jr. Mm-hmm. Iron Man is arguably my favorite superhero. Robert Downey Jr. plays him to perfection, and this is one of my favorite actors. Robert Downey Jr.
Sure,
is just amazing. He does Tony Stark so well, so for me, and it's beautiful because it owned the decade. And Endgame, spoiler, Endgame, Tony Stark, Robert Downey Jr. is able to give himself to save the day.
Right.
He sacrifices himself.
And you love that
himself.
Sacrificial.
So
right.
I think Tony Stark's arc as portrayed by Robert Downey Jr. was absolutely perfect. He is wonderful. One of those guys who is smart, charismatic, hilariously funny, and just a great all around actor. So Robert Downey Jr. from the Marvel franchise is my number three.
I love it.
He owns Iron Man.
I love
it. He is my Iron Man.
And he does own it. And that's a good thing because he really did get pigeonholed into that Tony Stark. I mean, that was literally all he did the whole decade.
Yeah.
I was just looking at it. I mean, Sherlock Holmes, he did as well. So
which he was good at.
He was good at that as well. Yeah, so.
He's good. I mean, Robert Downey Jr. is good at everything.
He is.
Like, everything he does is wonderful. And he has a great story as well about overcoming addiction. But everything Robert Downey Jr. does is brilliant.
It's great. I mean, yeah. You know, Iron Man, which is portrayed by him, yeah, is the foundation for the Marvel franchise.
That's where it
franchise.
Began. As far as the new Marvel arc, yeah, it began with Iron Man, Tony Stark, played by Robert Downey Jr., and the director,
John Favreau.
Yep. That's where the new phase of the Marvel universe began. Do you have a date on Iron Man 1?
The first one was 2008.
Okay, so it was right before the decade. But
The sequel was 2010.
I just think,
and then the rest of the decade was all the Marvel universe.
I just think Marvel owned it, and Robert Downey Jr. is Marvel to me right
now.
I mean, he's Iron Man. He's the center
he's
of it.
The,
him and Cap. Him and Captain America.
I was going to say, as far as on screen, because, you know, Stan Lee obviously is behind the scenes, but as far as on screen, RDJ is like the patriarch of the MCU, in my opinion.
He carried
that.
And
that was
decade.
Why his characters, like you said, spoilers for anyone that hasn't seen Endgame, but that was why I feel like the filmmakers decided that his character was the one that was going to kind of end it.
And
so
it's
to
that
speak.
Beautiful exchange of, I am inevitable. Well, I am Iron Man.
Right.
Snap.
Right. Over. Bam. There you go.
I mean, that's, I love it. I am Iron Man. You're like, oh, Tony.
I love it.
So Robert Downey Jr. So it's interesting that you mentioned Stan Lee because I thought about Marvel, of course, mm-hmm, when I was thinking about movies and how I've been entertained by them. But Robert Downey Jr. became the face of that movement for me.
Sure.
There's the face of
and
the movement.
And I think it is. And I think he shares that a little bit with Chris Evans, like
yes,
you were saying,
of
with
course.
Captain America.
Of course.
But when they had the Civil War debate, when it was Team Cap against Team Iron Man,
I was Iron Man.
And
I don't care what he does. I'm Iron Man.
I mean, I know our friend Michael and some other people love
I am Iron Man.
Captain America. And I do too. Yeah.
Chris Evans was great.
Soldier,
the guy who played Thor, the Hemsworth, whatever his name is, he was perfect as Thor. I mean, all the actors were great. But your main dude as Star-Lord, the guy from Parks and Rec, as Star-Lord.
Chris Pratt.
Yeah, he was wonderful. Mm-hmm. But, dude, no one can beat Tony Stark. Robert Downey Jr. is Tony Stark.
All right.
Is perfect.
Well, that's a good pick, man. I like
it. Thank you very much for validating my pick.
I thought about... Yeah, I love validating you. I know you need that.
I do.
I thought about Robert Downey Jr. He's on my extended list when I made my initial list of like 15 people. He's definitely up there. And I don't know. It was hard because he was that same character basically the whole decade, with the exception of Sherlock Holmes.
Yes.
But like we said with Ryan Reynolds, he's cool in real life.
Yeah.
Like when you see RDJ do interviews and go on Fallon and whatever, it's just a cool
guy. And that
guy
also
to watch
shows you how important
career,
the character was, because as a single guy playing a single character, he owned the decade.
Right.
You know?
I'm with you. All right, man. So this one might be a little bit of a no brainer.
Okay,
it might
number
be,
two.
It might be crossover. I don't know. I love this guy. This guy is an actor. Yeah. But in my opinion, like if you had to put like a job title next to his name, it would be actor.
Okay.
As we currently are sitting here. But to me, he is an entertainer, brother. Like he is literally just entertaining. Like no matter what scenario you witness him in or see him in, whether it's on Fallon show or he's been a host on SNL, he's fucking hilarious on SNL. So he's got the comedy piece in there, but he is this generation's like Arnold Schwarzenegger. And I'm talking about The Rock.
The Rock!
Dwayne The Rock Johnson is my number
That's
two.
That's a good one. That is a great one.
He's just so charismatic, man.
He's awesome.
And funny. Obviously got the bulky weightlifting thing going. You know,
he's an action star.
He is.
Once again, doesn't take himself too seriously.
Right.
He's able to make fun of himself, which is important.
You know, I feel like he's this generation's Arnold. I mean, that's really how I categorize him from like a cinematic perspective. Yeah. But he's so funny. And like you said, he just kind of goes with the flow, man. I mean, have you seen any of his episodes of SNL?
I have.
He's hilarious, man. And he does that one skit on SNL where I've talked about it on the show before, actually, but he does that skit where he's like a wrestler, which is his background, you know, and they're doing the promo. So he's like talking shit to the other wrestler that he's about to face in the WrestleMania or whatever.
Oh, and he's good at that.
And they're like,
no one's better.
They're
than
like
Rock.
Talking trash to each other with the interviewer holding the mic up and stuff. And the skit is that whenever it's his turn to talk shit, he talks like really personal stuff about the guy. So it's like, I heard about your divorce, man. You know, and he's like getting into about his divorce and about how he's got like crabs and shit. And then they'll like cut to break and he'll be like, bro, why did you bring up all that like really personal stuff? So it's a hilarious skit, man. But he does that one on there. That's like,
I don't care what you think.
Yeah. I mean, even, you know, and I'm not even trying to be funny, but I used to be a wrestling like viewer. I used to watch it regularly. It's more in the 90s, but The Rock was like the last wrestler that I was like into and a fan of before I stopped watching. Yeah. So he was the last one. Steve Austin I liked a lot too. Stone Cold.
Stone Cold.
But I love those dudes in WWE. Their personalities were just larger than life, man. I mean, they just, it's kind of like we were talking about on our last episode with Scene Stealers. Mm-hmm. I mean, The Rock, when he came on the WWE shows, he was a scene stealer, bro. Yeah. Like literally you'd hear his music and just a world, like the whole stadium would stop. Like The Rock's coming out, you know, like he just kind of took over that franchise for several years. Yeah. And then going into 2010 and beyond, I mean, he's just the action star. Yeah. Like
if you listen to some of his story and his life and how he got there, it's pretty cool. Yeah. Like, I think he wanted to be an NFL player. He wanted to be a football player.
He got injured. He played for the University of Miami. Yeah, he did. And I didn't even mention the HBO show Ballers, which I also like a whole lot, but he's the star of that show. Yeah. And that's a great show.
He's just
this decade.
Like the Fallons of the world. He just seems like, and the Robert Downey Jr.'s, I think we're hitting on a theme here.
Yeah.
He just seems like a cool guy.
Yeah, he does.
He seems like a cool guy.
He does, and you want him on your team too because he could kick some ass, brother.
He can.
At least he looks like it. So, great action star.
He made the remake of Jumanji good.
He did, yeah. And there's a sequel coming out this year.
Interesting.
Or it might be in January. But yeah, Jumanji was decent, and with Kevin Hart. And just a lot of great action films and just an action star. And his wrestling kind of repertoire is, and he's just a funny dude when he's like in interviews and on SNL. And I just love him, man. Charismatic. And any action movie that has Fast and Furious franchise. He was great in that. And Hobbs and Shaw just came out this year. But yeah, any action franchise, I can guarantee you, of course, he's not going to do them all. But if you're making an action movie, his phone's ringing.
Yeah.
Like you're trying to get The Rock in of your course. Action film. He is right now in this generation. He is the action star. Yeah. Now, if you go back to the 80s and 90s, it's like Arnold, Sylvester Stallone.
But we haven't had another Arnold or Sylvester Stallone.
I feel like since this then. Is
I think The Rock is the next one. Yeah.
I feel like this is the dude.
Yeah.
And we forgot to mention Moana. Yeah. I mean, he was in Moana.
Ah, he was wonderful. That was he this sang
decade.
A song.
That was this decade.
You're welcome.
I mean, it was great, man. So I love The Rock, man. I feel like he's got a great career. And he wonderful. Is carrying the torch as the action star for this generation. All right, man, what's your runner-up? That was my number two.
My number two kind of jumped out at me right away. I'm going to blow your mind right now. I don't watch a lot of stand-up comedians. I'm just not a big fan of stand-up comedy. It just really doesn't do it for me. But this guy, over the last decade, everything he does, his stage persona and his type of humor just makes me laugh. My brother and I saw him at PNC Arena. I'm talking about Jim Gaffigan. Jim Gaffigan is one
nice.
Of the... Jim Gaffigan is one
that's
of the...
That's a rare pull, yeah. man. That's high on your list.
Right huh? now, he's probably the top pulling stand-up comedian.
You know what?
Right
I got to be honest with you. I am decade. Like thrilled. I'll let you continue, yeah. but I am thrilled that you, in essence, named a stand-up comedian.
Man.
Last summer, we did our first big family vacation. Well, I should clarify, we went to Disney. Now, if you haven't been to Disney as an adult, just imagine you're standing in line at the DMV, and that's it. Actually, it was Orlando in July, so it was kind of like standing in line on the surface of the sun. Why would we do this to ourselves? Remember when you were a kid and you'd go on vacation, you'd be like, why is Dad always in a bad mood? Now I understand. How can I spend an enormous amount of money, be uncomfortable, and listen to my children complain and whine? Disney. Oh, good. I did figure out what makes Disney truly magical, though. You can walk around sweating your ass off for 12 hours and still gain weight. I know it's 110 out here, but these fries taste great. We eat, you know, because we want to have a good time. Really, that's all a vacation is. Just us eating in a place we've never been. Well, why don't we eat something, then we'll go and get something to eat. And we'll see that thing we're supposed to see. They probably got a snack bar there, right? After that, we should probably get something to eat, though. Then we'll eat something.
I mean, I know he did a show on TBS, I think. He got like a spinoff show about his comedy or something.
He does a few different things.
But I know he's done some stuff, but I mean,
I'm talking about him purely as a stand up.
You laugh your ass off when you watch
his bit. Every single time.
It's great.
I'd say over the last decade, he's probably had three or four 1 hour specials, like comedy specials, maybe even more.
I do like him a lot.
Dave Chappelle's coming back now and he's starting to take over again as the. But right now, over the last decade, Jim Gaffigan has been the stand up comedian. Sure. And every time, I mean, just his character, you know, what did he say? I don't know.
Well,
damn.
What's cool about Gaffigan too, which I'm sure.
I don't want to make you feel uncomfortable right now, so I'm going to talk about Jesus.
But what I like about Gaffigan.
His character, and he talks about his life a lot. He's like, I'm overweight. I'm married. I have 5 children. I don't know what I'm doing with my life. I'm a vegetarian, except I eat chicken and pork and beef.
He's just talking to you.
I go to McDonald's. People make fun of me from going to McDonald's, but you know, I go to McDonald's. Just hilarious.
What I like about Gaffigan is he often, and I love that there's other comedians that do this too. I just went to see one actually locally. Nate Bargatze is a very similar type of humor. I love when comedians basically talk shit about their children and how they hate being a parent. You know what I mean? It's just like
when he talked about having his fourth, he has 4 children. Does that, you know? He had this great bit about having his fourth child. He's like, I just recently had my 4th child. And someone asked me, tell me what it's like having a 4th child. He goes, okay, imagine you're drowning and someone hands you a baby.
That's just a great.
But yeah, for me, honestly, my top two entertainers of the decade jumped out awesome, right away. Bro. Now, number one is not going to surprise you at all, but number two,
I love that
Jim Gaffigan, man. I mean, over the last ten years, no one has made me laugh as much as Jim Gaffigan.
And I have a really affinity for stand up comedians. Yeah. Like, you know, I'm okay with it when they break big, like the Seinfelds of the world, and you know, I love that. But I don't know, man. It's just such a you know, like Eddie Murphy started as a stand-up. So many people are, Jimmy Fallon, I mean, so many people are rooted in stand-up and then they get their break, you know, and they are on TV or on movies or whatever. But I have such a weird, you were talking about Seinfeld's comedians in cars.
Yeah.
That's a perfect example. There's very few, areas of the world or whatever, or professions that I'm super intrigued by, behind the scenes. And for some reason, the stand-up comedian to me is such an intriguing origin story.
Yeah.
Because you're literally going into a room of a bunch of strangers, and I know you used to do improv, so I'm sure you understand what I'm talking about, but you're going into a room of strangers and you're trying to make them laugh, which honestly is one of the hardest things to do in the world, you know?
It almost feels like everyone's against you.
Yeah, and
because when you go out there and I'm gonna play a song. I already have the song. All my band and I have to do is go out there and play it.
Right,
and it's fine.
You probably entertain.
Yeah,
right.
But whatever. But when you're doing stand up comedy, when you walk out, everyone's looking at you make me laugh,
Robo. Yeah,
and so you have to reach out and grab their attention, and because laughter is, laughter and crying is the two greatest forms of vulnerability.
Sure.
When you laugh at someone, you're being vulnerable to them. So, I mean, the stand-up comic job is
just
difficult.
It just really intrigues me, that world, you know? And you have some of the tragic figures in stand-up comedy, like Richard Pryor's of the world.
Robin Williams,
you know? And it just intrigues me. You literally decided to, take on one of the hardest professions, I would imagine.
Yeah.
Definitely in entertainment. And it's one in 1,000 people are successful.
What I love about Jim is he seems to be a purist. He could break off, but he seems like the main thing he wants to do is stand up. Just what he wants to do.
Yeah, I agree. I love that pick, man. I love it, I definitely didn't see it coming, especially in your number two. But Jim Gaffigan. Just love that, you know, at the end of the day, he's a stand up comedian.
Yes.
And that's been so entertaining to you for the last 10 years, honestly.
Even have to think about it.
That's awesome.
I didn't when I was thinking about who's my top entertainers, the one and two right away. I was like, oh, Jim. Of course, Jim Gaffigan.
I love his skits about his kids, man. They're so funny. And I want to say he got a sitcom spinoff on TBS that only lasted a season.
Yeah.
But I think, and it was based on his comedy, about it with his family and stuff. He had a bunch of kids, obviously, in it because it was based on his life. But Jim Gaffigan's your number two.
Jim Gaffigan.
My number one, you've already mentioned, is obviously Miss Taylor Swift.
Tay Swift.
So, you know, I'll just pine over her a little bit more as if I need to
make
that worse for my court trial, but for my stalker trial. But
Your Honor, I'd like to play these tapes if you don't mind. Now, they're going to take a while. And if the children are watching, please earmuffs.
If there's any question, let me just play this. Prosecution rest.
just let you speak for yourself.
Look, dude, I love her, man. I mean, you know, it's funny that we're talking about entertainers of this decade, too, because that's really when I started to become a super fan was in 2011, 2012. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So the Red album came out in 2012. Spoiler alert from anyone who hasn't listened to our top 5 albums of the decade yet, but 1989, the album that came out in 2016, one of my favorite albums of this decade, any artist, any genre. Taylor Swift is just so prolific, man. You know, people are Swifties. People love her.
Tay Swifties.
Or you're a hater. You know, there's no in between where I kind of like her. You know, it's you love her or you hate her. Mm-hmm. And
why do you think that is, by the way?
In popular culture, in our world.
Is it because she's so popular?
She's so prolific, man. Everybody It's much like in the sports world, Tom Brady. You know, everybody knows who Taylor Swift is. Like, literally, there's no one that doesn't know who she is if they're old enough to know things.
Are you old enough to know things?
Anyone over, like, and I'm not even kidding, anyone over, like, the age of 4 knows who she is. I'm not even joking. Like, you could walk up to anyone right now and be like, "Do you know? Have you ever heard Taylor Swift?" And they'll say yes. And that is just such, I mean, think about that, bro.
To make your way into people's lives. And to do it in an honest, and like not like a Kim Kardashian way, nothing against Kim Kardashian, but in a way where she's broken into everyone's life doing what she loves.
Right.
She's a talented musician. I've talked about it before. She's had a wonderful, she's been writing her own music from the very beginning. She went from country, out of country. Yeah. And
she went to Nashville to basically get a break, and she did. Yeah. You know, she was playing the Bluebird Cafe, which I've been to.
Her lyrics are amazing. From the beginning, I talked about Speak Now, songwriter. Her lyrics are so specific.
Great songwriter.
So good.
And, you know, we did our top 5 Taylor songs with a special guest when her new album came out, Lover, a few months ago. And we talked about this on that episode. But Taylor started when she was 14, okay? Yeah. Like, recording music, I mean. And she just turned 30. So
we do it for 16 years.
Right. So, and what she's always done, and what a lot of quote-unquote haters will go after her for, or act like they're not entertained by her, which is my opinion, because you don't want to admit, I can't admit that I was, you know, dancing to Shake It Off or whatever. Bro, just enjoy life. You know what I mean? That's what I look at. And I hate when people use the term guilty pleasure. I just love her. But what people don't realize is that she is a songwriter, and she's writing about her experiences. So when you're in your early to mid-20s, you're dating people and you're breaking up with people. You're having one-night stands. You're doing, you know what I mean? You're doing that stuff.
What's the dark song about Write Your Name? Write Your Name? That's my favorite Tay-Tay song. I'll Write Your Name.
Oh, Blank Space.
That's it.
Dog. That's about her being a fucking psychopathic girlfriend.
And that's the thing, you know, about that honesty. Like, like, I'm going to be your girlfriend. You're going to love me, but then I'm going to turn into a nightmare and flip the tables over. Exactly. And I'm going to put your name on my list. That's dark.
Exactly.
I love
and
that
she
song.
Embraced, and that was love how, that and that was how a lot of people that were kind of on the outside looking in at her success were judging her.
Yeah.
They were kind of being very judgmental, like, the songs you're writing, like, you can't stay in a relationship for more than a year. You know what I mean? They were kind
it's
of
like, no, I can't. I'll write about
they
it.
They were kind of judging her that way. So when 1989 came out, and that song specifically, she embraced that. Yeah. And she said, all right, you know what? Sure. I'll tell you real quick how I do relationships.
Exactly.
You're going to like me, but a month from now, you're going to be like, what the fuck did
but
I get myself
into? But you're right about
into?
It, because I guess when people are that popular, you forget about the age thing and the general progress of a human being as they grow older. I mean, when she that was her 20s, and in your 20s, no relationships last long.
Right.
In your late teens and 20s, that's how they last. They get really good for a while, and then they get really bad.
Right.
And you know, I mean, it's that's how it is.
Okay. Well, I mean, you know, I love her. Anyone that's listened to this show ever probably knows I love her. Literally any episode, I'm probably talking about her. But I mean, she's a very beautiful woman. She's been in movies, so she's also entertaining us from an actor standpoint. Yep. She was in Valentine's Day, New Year's Day, and then Cats, which I haven't seen because it literally just came out, so I haven't seen it.
I love Cats.
But it's a version of the Broadway musical. And then obviously her albums. She's put out 4 albums just this decade, including Lover that just came out in 2019, which is amazing. 1989 is a masterpiece. It's one of my top 5 albums of the decade. She's a great songwriter. She's a great performer. I have not gotten to see her live yet, which is very disappointing. And anyone listening that has the opportunity to get me a ticket, I will accept it. But she's my number one, man. Taylor Swift.
Tay-Tay Swifty.
Is anyone surprised? No one listening to the show is surprised, right?
Yes.
Now, you know, will she do it next decade? Who knows? But this decade, really the last like 8 years, she has been my number one entertainer.
Sounds good.
That's it, man. Brother. So that's it for my... So we're up to your number one, bro.
My number one. It's not going to shock anyone. I don't really... He owns my life. He's owned... Not just the last decade, the last 20 years. I first listened to him. It was, I think, 2002. I heard a song of his on the radio, and I was like, who the... is this?
Sure.
And they're like, dude, that's that guy from NSYNC. I was like, get out of town. Bought that album. He owned all the first 20s for me, to 2022, whatever, 2000s for me. Mm-hmm. And this last decade... he's gone from being a super pop star. You know, he came out with Future Sex Love Sound, which is probably the greatest pop album of all time. Yes, Thriller. It kicks your ass. Future Sex Love Sound. But then...
was that this decade?
No, I'm not even there yet, brother. That was last decade. Okay, that was 2000. But then, in this decade, around the turn of the century, around 2010,
he starts
to shift, and you get 2020 Volume 1, you get 2020 Volume 2, where he proves that, you know what, nothing can hold me down. These songs are 8 to 10 minutes long. They break all genres. Every time I'm on SNL, every time he's with Jimmy Fallon, the guy just entertains me.
He's an actor, too.
I mean, he's an actor. Justin Timberlake, man, JT. It's going to be many a decade before anyone can knock him off my top list. The guy is a... I mean, if I met anyone in my life, I think I could probably maintain and have a good conversation. If I met Justin Timberlake, I might freak the fuck out.
Yeah, it's like me with Taylor.
I mean, I just like, I wouldn't know what to say. I did meet him in the...
I was going to say, you walked in on him in the bathroom, right?
No, in California Pizza Kitchen in Studio City, he was waiting for the bathroom. And I was you know, organizing the fly closet, and I looked up and there he was. And I was like...
Why was he waiting for the bathroom?
Dude, because
get
he's
out
Justin
of his way, JT. Let him go to the bathroom. What, did you guys have a single or something? Yeah. Why is he waiting inside the bathroom?
But anyway, Justin Timberlake, like your Tay-Tay Swift, there's no surprise.
He's on honorable mentions, obviously.
He has owned the 20s, the year 2000. Yeah. He has owned it for me.
And honestly,
I've seen him in concert 3 or 4 times. I love him.
And honestly, if you want to go back to the late 90s, NSYNC.
Yeah.
I mean, he's been killing it, bro. I mean, he's an entertainer.
And then Man of the Woods comes out. I love that album. Right. And you can't, I mean, like, when you listen to his album, like, it doesn't sound like anything else.
He's all over the place.
Yes. Every album he comes out with, it sounds completely different, completely new.
Go back, guys. And
when he did the Super Bowl, I think, one year.
January
like,
last year.
Yeah, when he did the Super Bowl, killed it.
Yeah, I thought so too.
Killed it. The guy is just entertaining. He can dance. I love him. He's funny. He's hilarious.
I would urge people, much like Taylor, we did our top 5 JT songs.
Yeah.
We did that a few months ago. So go back and look up that episode as well. If you're a Timberlake fan, but that's a great pick, man. I'm not surprised. I didn't know if it was going to be your number one, but yeah. I was almost positive
Justin
it'd be on your
Timberlake,
list.
Timberlake, I love you.
There you go. All right. So why don't you I'll round up my top 5 real quick, and then I'll have you wrap yours up. So my number 5 was Stan Lee.
Beautiful.
My number 4 was Ryan Reynolds.
Lovely.
I'm surprised you didn't have him, to be honest, but my number 4.
That'd be cool.
I thought we'd have crossover there. Okay. My number 3, which is probably my dark horse, is Jordan Peele.
I love that.
The new horror director that's really carrying the torch there. My number 2 is The Rock. Dwayne The Rock Johnson.
Dwayne The Rock. He's still The Rock, dude.
Number 1 is my rock, Taylor Swift.
Connect the list. My number 5 was Tay-Tay Swifty. My number 4 was Jimmy Fallon. My number 3 was Robert Downey Jr. My number 2 was Jim Gaffigan. I'll call him Jimmy. Jim Gaffigan. Number 1, the one and only JT.
Nice. There we go. That was our top 5 entertainers
of the decade.
Of the decade, guys.
Man.
So we're going to head over to social media in a moment. But before we do that, I have 5 honorable mentions. Do you want me to give you mine real quick?
I have random honorable mentions, but you go
so,
ahead.
You know when I was doing Jordan Peele and putting him in there?
Yeah.
So this is the other one that I didn't know which way I was going to go.
Okay.
But since I had Taylor at number 1, I decided to leave this lady off. Mm-hmm. Lady Gaga.
She is wonderful.
Would be my number 6. She absolutely floored me in A Star Is Born last year from an actress standpoint.
Yeah.
And then her voice, her music, she's just...
Very unique.
Like,
she came out of the Britney and Christina Aguilera age with something new. I'm not going to sound like them.
Such a good singer, man. So that would have been my 6. My number 7 would have been Mr. Stephen King.
Interesting.
And Arthur. Is it Arthur or Arthur?
Arthur.
He's an Arthur. Arthur. Why did I put an extra letter in that?
Arthur, yes.
Arthur.
With an author, yes.
Stephen King. Obviously a horror author who spawned a bunch of movies this decade.
No, love
based on his work. Gerald Game, both It's, It Chapter 1, It Chapter 2, which just came out, by the way. There's a new one on Netflix called In the Tall Grass, which I haven't seen yet. 1922, I loved. He's just...
Steven.
He knows how to write a horror movie, brother. Or a horror book, which is adapted into film. So Stephen King would have been my number 7. My number 8 would have been the talk show host that made my list, Conan O'Brien.
Conan O'Brien!
I love Conan, man. And
he still does a podcast and some kind of
he
cool...
He just started doing a podcast. Yeah, I didn't name him because of his podcast, but I have listened to that a few times. And it's just, I just love hearing him interview people and talk to people because he has such a good interview quality. He just interviewed on his podcast, actually, David Letterman.
Yeah.
Who's a great,
really?
Is a great late night person that he admired. And it was cool to hear him talking to like one of his heroes, basically, and like interviewing him. So Conan O'Brien, any little clips he does on his show is just, I subscribe to it on YouTube. He's just hilarious. Yeah. So I love Conan. He would be my number 8. My number 9 is your boy, Justin Timberlake.
Justin.
2020 experience is it for me. Dude. I know you love Future Sex Love Sounds, but 2020 Volume 1 specifically is a double album, is one of my favorite albums of this decade for sure. And that he would be my number 9. And then my number 10, I've fallen off like listening to him on such a regular basis, but particularly in the early part of the decade. But I just love like... I've gotten more into podcasts, to be honest. And I'm not even trying to be funny, but that's why I don't listen to them as much anymore. Yeah. But I used to listen to them like in the first half of the decade, like every day on when I was driving to Triangle Town Center.
Fascinating.
Howard Stern.
Howard Stern. Yeah,
king of all media.
Dude.
Just so entertaining, bro. I mean, have you seen his show and watching his clips and stuff?
You know, of course, David Letterman has My Next Guest Is.
Right.
Howard Stern's episode's really good.
I haven't seen it yet, really, and good. I know it's on there and I want
to
watch
Howard's
it.
Howard's a very cool guy. He's very open and very honest about how he got to where he was, about how, you know, his ego, and about, you know, satellite radio, and, you right. know, having to top himself every week. He's very honest. Right. It's really cool. It's right. really cool.
Well, those are my honorable mentions. What do you have, buddy?
Ryan Reynolds, obviously one. This is one that's interesting. Ellen DeGeneres. Ellen DeGeneres just makes me happy.
Yeah,
I think she's just a great lady. She has a great show. She's really hilarious, but she just seems like a good person who's just making the world a better place.
I agree
with
that.
Definitely one. Sure. Ed Sheeran is definitely one for me. Jim Carrey still makes me happy.
Yeah, he's good.
Like he's become more of an existentialist.
He is on that new show, which is about a stand-up comic on Showtime, but I can't. Laughing, I think it's called Laughing or Laughter.
He still makes me happy when I see him in the interviews and whatnot. And he paints a lot, and I see his paintings on Twitter.
Oh yeah, he's a good artist too.
Yeah, he's very political outspoken. Artist, he's very outspoken. Artist, so he's one of my favorites of the decade. So he had a big effect on me.
I see it, brother.
I'm trying to think of anybody else. I can't think of anybody else.
Okay, well let's head over and open up the suggestion box then. I was in a box. All right. Was that me or was that Brad Pitt? That was very spot on, wasn't it? It sounded like Pitt, though, didn't it? It's Gwyneth Paltrow's head. Yes. All right, here we go. Okay, so here's what we got over on... spoiler alert for a 20-year-old movie. Here's what we got over on social media, buddy. So on the Facebook fan page, we'll start over there. For entertainers of the decade, our buddy Colby Mack said The Rock.
Dude, come on, bro.
Nice. He said it's an entertainer, and he adds a challenging element. He's a singer, athlete, and actor. But Rock has owned this decade.
Dude, he has. I agree with him. Rock is awesome.
I agree with him.
The Rock.
Michael Hill said, yeah, he's definitely high on that list, and he put up a little GIF from Moana.
Moana.
So Michael mentioned a performer and entertainer that I also have a great affinity for, but I just don't know of the decade because he's really, and I'm not trying to be funny, he's really only done like two or three things, but they were so giant. Mm-hmm. So there could definitely be an argument made for this, but he says Lin-Manuel Miranda, which is the gentleman that is a singer and a dancer that he created, Hamilton. Which Hamilton has got to be.
He's been around, though. I saw him in an episode of House, a couple episodes of House.
Yeah, he's been doing a lot of really cool cameo stuff, and he wrote the music for Moana.
He wrote an episode, a rhyming episode that he guest starred on of How I Met Your Mother, which is one of my favorite sitcoms.
All right.
So he's been popping up here and there, and of course, I mean, Hamilton, come on.
Yeah, I mean, Hamilton's got to be if you were doing, you know, a top five, works of the decade, I mean, it's got to be up there. Yes. Hamilton.
Well, I can't believe I didn't mention Trey Parker and Matt Stone. Like, dude, I totally didn't think about them because they're writers and creators of South Park and of South Park the Musical. And, of course, that was way, way long time ago. But the Book of Mormon, Broadway musical. Man, I can't believe it. Sorry, dude, Trey and Matt, sorry. I know you look forward to me talking about you, but I'm sorry.
Yeah, this week I didn't
do
it.
You're on every other list.
I didn't do it this week. So Tony over on the Facebook page said Keanu Reeves.
Dude, Keanu
has entertained the hell out of me
awesome.
This past decade, but also before with a little winky face. Yeah, he's been around for a long time, brother. He is an entertaining dude, and he would probably be the entertainer of 2019.
I think we're I think we're out of the 20th anniversary of the first Matrix movie.
We are.
Yeah, I think it's like 1999.
That's right. Yeah. Yep. Hugh Jackman deserves a mention.
Hugh Jackman,
says our buddy Paul from the Countdown. And then this is what...
He's entertaining. Have you seen The Greatest Showman?
I never saw that one.
He's good.
I heard it was good.
He's an entertaining guy.
I mean, Logan. And just portraying Wolverine this decade, most of this decade. And then Aaron, this is what I was talking about earlier. So he said, I'm going to have to consider Justin Timberlake.
Justin.
And then depending on how you want to define entertainer, you could argue the MCU as an entity.
Yeah.
And that was when I said Stan Lee with a question mark. And then he had also said it. And he said, Jinx... That I was thinking the same thing. And then our friend Michael said Kevin Feige, who was the director for the or writer for the Avengers films.
All of them.
Like Infinity War. Well, the Avengers ones.
Yeah.
Infinity War, Age of Ultron, and Endgame or whatever.
Dude, awesome.
So I think definitely an argument can be made there. And then we'll head over to Twitter. And I'll just mention a few over on Twitter that have not gotten mentioned yet. Let's see. Well, the Goods Podcast put up a GIF of Robert Downey Jr.
So nice.
They're with you on that one.
Robert.
And then the Countdown City Geekcast said, has anyone been bigger in the last 10 years? Bruno Mars. We didn't mention Bruno Mars.
Dude, he's
but
cool.
That is true. Yeah. He
24 Kevin Magic in the air.
That's true, though.
And he probably got big in this decade. So I don't think... Was he releasing stuff in the...
I mean, yeah, he was around, but I want to say... Because I want to say his first, like, big tune, Solo, was on the Twilight soundtrack, which would may have been before this decade.
Yeah, okay.
But it was definitely in the last like 12 years-ish. Dude, so this was a big decade for him.
Bruno's awesome.
Real Reviews TV over on Twitter says, and this was an interesting mention, but and they kind of explained themselves. But Michael Shannon, and Michael Shannon's a great actor, but they said he started the decade with Take Shelter and is the most interesting part of everything that he was in the rest of the decade. He intrigues and terrifies me. Michael Shannon is a great actor. I agree with that.
I have no idea who Michael Shannon is.
He was in The Shape of Water last year. He played like the villain in that. He was
the new
General Zod in Batman versus Superman.
Oh.
So he's been around this decade. He does a lot of, he's like a character actor.
Yeah.
So he's one of those people.
He is terrifying.
You know who he is.
He is terrifying.
Let's see. Oh, well, you know what? They're gonna be mad at us because they put receipts up here, but they did their homework before they mentioned this.
Here we go.
So they put up a snapshot of the movies that this gentleman's been in this decade, and they said, "You're not gonna convince me that this is not the entertainer of the decade." But we didn't list them, so I'm nervous. I'm gonna upset them.
Here we go.
So the name of the name over on Twitter is Shitty Sci-Fi Reviews. Shitty Sci-Fi on Twitter. They said the best entertainer of this decade will never not be Mr. Tom Cruise.
Yeah.
The last 10 years, hands down, has been the best of his already incredible career.
Because he's been knocking it out of the park every decade since the 80s.
From Night and Day to MI Fallout, nobody can match this decade of excellent flicks. Nobody. And he's got, you know, Jack Reacher, American Made, The Mummy, which was not well received, but that did
make Night and Day I wanted to see. I heard
Night and Day was good. Run with me on this. Run with me pod over on Twitter said Bill Hader. I love that mention. Bill Hader is in Barry. He was on SNL.
Mm-hmm.
I love Bill Hader, man. Yeah. Have you seen, he was in It, Chapter 2, which just came out this year. You'll know him if you see him.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
He did Stefan on SNL, and he always broke character and started busting out laughing. You know what I'm talking about?
No.
Well, I'll send you, as soon as you see him, you'll be like, oh, okay.
Yeah, okay.
Let's see, I'll just mention a couple more that we have not mentioned, and one of them that I know that you'll like this mention, but first, Ghost to Jarf, which is Inspector Flora on Twitter, said the best entertainer of his decade is Childish Gambino.
Ah, dude, that's
good. Lion King. Yes. He was on Community. Mm-hmm. Has a great music career.
Yeah,
I agree with
well
that.
Done. Well done. Well done.
He's definitely been entertaining.
That's a good one.
And then the last one I'll mention because I feel like you'll like this a lot. It really surprised me. Love This Record One over on Twitter says Leonard Cohen. Which passed away, I believe it was last year.
Interesting. But this decade, interesting.
He said three terrific records, Old Ideas, Popular Problems, and You Want It Darker. And then he wrote a book of poetry called The Flame. Plus, I finally got to see him live this decade in 2013 in Rome, which was pretty damn amazing.
Dude, that is amazing.
So of his decade, it definitely sounds like Leonard Cohen owned it from an entertainment standpoint.
I hear you.
So that's it for our top five entertainers of the decade. As always, thank you so much to everyone that got the feedback to us. Andy, I want to throw it over to you, brother. Because this is the last time the peas are going to be heard through the ear holes of our listeners in 2019.
Oh, my gosh.
So we have a couple more episodes this year, but you will not be on those.
Yeah.
It'll just be my, they're going to be disappointed it's with just
sad.
Me.
Very sad.
So what do you want to end the year with our listeners, brother? Your final thoughts.
Yes, our lives are very, very unique. When you look at your lives and what entertains you, like who's involved, not only family and friends, but who do you let into your life? Because that's a vulnerability thing. That's a love thing. Like who do you listen to? Who do you allow to fill your ears and to fill your voice? And to fill your eyes with what are the people that are really affecting you. So let's end the year by being grateful for life itself and all those who've had an impact on you, all those entertainers, all those, you know, poets and musicians and writers and actors. Who are the people who've had an impact on you? And you know what? Don't just give them your money. Don't just give them your Twitter follow. Give them your gratitude. Stay thankful for all the people who've had an impact on your life. And this is what binds us all together, man. It's a beautiful thing.
I love it. You're a beautiful thing, brother. So look, Merry Christmas, Happy New Year, Happy Holidays. All that shit. Spend the dreidel. Do all that stuff.
Dreidel.
So that's it for 2019 for the two P's. We will be back in January, though. I don't know that I'm going to tell them what we're doing next because I don't know what we're doing next. Do you know what we're doing next? I don't think we've talked about it yet. But we'll be back in the year with a couple new shows.
Beautiful.
And we'll be entertainers.
Hey!
We'll be entertaining you in the new year.
I'm surprised that you weren't on anybody's list. I'm shocked.
It's unbelievable. That's Why didn't you put me?
You are my honorable
Jim Gaffigan, but not me. Are you serious? Come on, bro. So that's it. So for Andy, this is Gerald signing off for the two piece for 2019.
You know,
we'll be back in the
beautiful
year of clarity.
The year of clarity 2020.
You better patent that.
Dude, I'll give it away.
Andy, I love you, brother.
I love you.
I'll see you next year.
I'll be here.
All right, man. Take care. I want them all. Can I go where you go?
You've been listening to a Blazing Caribou Studios production. Support and subscribe to our Patreon at patreon.com/blazingcariboustudios.